Hello, I'm George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. And today it marks 60 years since the Great Train Robbery took place at Bridego Bridge in Buckinghamshire. So Buckinghamshire is just northwest of London. So this had been meticulously planned for some months beforehand. I'm fascinated by this. I've been to Bridego Bridge. You can see my YouTube video about that. So they got inside information from a chap. They used to go call him the Ulsterman for a long time, who I think worked for the Royal Mail, about banknotes taken from Glasgow overnight by train to London St Pancras, and then they were burnt. Why on earth couldn't they burn them in Glasgow? And so they decided to do it in August. There was a bank holiday early August, and then after the bank holiday, there tended to be larger amounts of cash delivered. So a plot was hatched, and so Bruce Reynolds and others were involved in it, Gordon Goody, but they didn't know how to stop a train. Now, there was a gang called the South Coast Raiders, obviously operating on the coast of southern England, and they'd stopped trains several times in a couple of years leading up to this, and they knew how to do it. So they had to, the Bruce Reynolds gang, some people say he wasn't really the leader of the gang, but he was certainly the most vocal afterwards, posed as the leader. They enlisted the help of the South Coast Raiders because they needed their expertise in stopping trains. Apparently, it's stupidly simple. It's just getting one of these light things, and it was not computerized in those days, and switching the wire from here to turn the green to red, and the train would stop. Okay, so we're going to stop the train, and then we're going to take the mail bags off. They could have put it into various cars and take it away. Okay, so that was the plan. I think 16 men were in on it, and that a train. It was not a passenger train. It was effectively a postal sorting office on wheels. So the letters were taken at Glasgow and departing at sort of 10 o'clock at night to arrive in London sort of 5 o'clock in the morning or something, and their postal workers sorting them by hand all through the night. Okay, so they're going to stop the train by having the red light go, get the money. Where do they go? They're mostly London villains, these gangsters. So get fast cars and drive back to London. Would that attract too much attention? Okay, so there were, you know, this is 1963. Not many people had cars. It's hard to realize that now, particularly in rural Buckinghamshire. So they stand out like a sore thumb. Even lying in wait with flash cars for a few hours beforehand. So they decided they would get themselves a place to live in Buckinghamshire. And after they got the money, they would drive to their flop, which is their sort of hideout, stay there for a few days till the heat died down, the police cordons were gone, and then they would return to London. Some people say the other reason they did that is they didn't trust each other. We're putting this much money in that car and that much money in that car, and they didn't have time to sort it out. They wouldn't actually share it out. And they'd rip each other off. Bear in mind, the two gangs are working together in creative tension. So they managed to buy a farm called Leatherslade Farm in Buckinghamshire, in this tiny village called Brill, about 10 miles west of Oxford. And a solicitor's clerk, Brian Field, processed it for them. And this was to be their Achilles heel. So they went there a few days beforehand, and they had enough food and beer, firkins of beer, to last them a while. Now, Gordon Goody, who was a seasoned criminal, chap born in Oxford, grew up in Northern Ireland, he had attempted to create an alibi by traveling Northern Ireland, and I think giving his name on the passenger manifest of a ship, giving a false name when coming back before the raid. So he would claim to have been in Ulster at the time that the robbery went down. And the others just didn't have any attempted alibis. Anyway, so the raid was delayed by a day. I'm not quite sure why the money cash delivery was not the day they thought it was going to be. Then they say that actually maybe quite a lot of people actually on the train, the postal workers, there's a theory that some of them were somehow in cahoots with a gang. So I've read that marvelous book, The Autobiography of a Thief, by the late Bruce Reynolds, who died just over 10 years ago, didn't quite live to see the 50th anniversary of the raid. And someone said, so we turn the light to red and the driver's going to stop. What if he doesn't stop for the red light? His accomplice says, he'll stop. But what if he doesn't stop? If he doesn't stop, I'll report him to the railway authorities for being dangerous. So they turn the light red. The thing is, as a train driver, you can see this one is red, but you can see several lights beyond it every mile or so. And how come that one's red, but then the green, green, green? Nevertheless, he stopped at Bridego Bridge where they wanted him to. Now, they got themselves army uniforms from an army surplus store. They'd got Land Rovers, ex-army ones, And if they were stopped by the police, their story was going to be that they were soldiers on night exercises. Quite credible. The British Army was far bigger in those days, 300,000. So seeing soldiers at night exercises in rural Buckinghamshire would not have been so unusual. In the end, they didn't need to. But one slight problem is they did pass an RAF man. And this chap from the Royal Air Force in uniform flagged them down and said, could you give me a lift? And the army always would as a courtesy, but they didn't. They sped on. He remembered them, where he saw them, when they saw them, which direction they're going. I don't think he got their registration plate. But that was the proof significant in the investigation. So stopping the train went well. But then there was the gallant train driver who fought to get these guys who put on balaclavas from getting on the train. And one of them managed to get on the back rear of the train, get him in a big bear hug. And then he was hit with an iron bar. He didn't hit his head whilst falling, as the gangsters falsely claimed. He was hit at least three times, concussed. So there was obviously violence involved. And actually, his sort of mate, the driver's mate, had got down off the train to go to one of these boxes, call boxes. They didn't have any communication system on the train to say, what's wrong? Why have we stopped? And then he was obviously overpowered by the train, by the train robbers. And some of the postal workers, they were threatened. They lay down the floor face down in token of capitulation. The train drivers, they wanted to separate the high-value packages part from the ordinary part of the train where the sorting office was, and they couldn't do it. And they brought one of their they recruited a retired train driver to help them, but he couldn't do it. He'd not seen this model of train. So that train driver, he was revived, and he managed to do it for them. You were not going to argue with several of these masked thugs who just hit you on the head, could have killed them like that. And they managed to move the train about a mile from where they left just the sorting office, and they moved the high value packages and the locomotive. Why do they want to separate it? Maybe is it in Kate? Well, they wanted to be nearer the Land Rovers they had, but why not move the whole train to the original position? But maybe it was in case the postal workers start to fight back. The postal workers actually outnumbered the robbers. The robbers did not bring firearms. There's a very strong belief that you shouldn't use firearms in those days amongst British robbers, because if you did, murder in the furtherance of a robbery was an automatic death penalty offence. And if it was the law of common purpose, you know, the Let 'Em Have It case, Derek Bentley case, if one of you committed murder, you could all be hanged for it, okay? Because it's like the law of parties in the United States. So they didn't have guns. And they formed a human chain and managed to pass the bags of cash along into the Land Rover. They'd give themselves something like half an hour to do it. Half an hour was up. There was some money that they just decided they couldn't take, enough time, and they drove away. And they said something to those guys lying down, don't get up for 30 minutes. And the police turned up. The gangsters, they tuned into the police radio, and they heard the police saying about an hour later, you're not going to believe this. Someone just stole a fucking train. They had stolen it, but only moved about an hour, in about a mile. And they'd cut the telephone wires so the nearby houses couldn't say anything. Now, obviously, not that many people had telephones in 1963. It's hard to remember just how primitive technology was comparatively back then. Anyway, so they lay low in Leatherstone Farm for a few days. But some of the farmers had recognized unusual activity. Why are there 16 youngish men and several cars there with registrations which are not from this county? And anyway, they thought something was happening. So the robbers realized that people were onto them. So they drove out prematurely. They'd been due to stay for a week, but they drove a few days early. And well, the rest is history. They got away with, was it £2.5 million, about £60 million in modern values. And Bruce Reynolds got away to Mexico, but he spent all the money in 5 years, came back and was caught. Almost all the others were caught. One of the others had gone to Latin America, eventually gave himself up. They serve quite long sentences. There have been several books about it. I must read more of them. I read a marvelous book that came out about 5 years ago, a very full investigation. They thought there'd be some robbers who were never caught, who lived out their lives in some comfort. And one of the guys who was inside, one of the Irishmen who was part of the inside job, he got all this money, but he didn't seem to have lived in luxury. What did he do with it? Maybe he gave it to the Catholic Church. That's some conjecture. Thank you so much for watching the channel. Goodbye.